I'd like to call to order the House Committee on Guidelines. Today is Thursday, February 8th, 2007. We are going to have a short meeting today. One of our members needs to leave at 10:25. So we are going to tackle two issues today, or attempt to. The first, just an opportunity to respond to Ramona and give our official thumbs up through the committee, if that is what the committee's desire is, to the new gift guidelines. And if we are able to do that in a timely fashion, we will then move on to talking about books and materials. That seems like a better fit for a 25-minute meeting than the definition of open to the public and making remarks and serving on a panel, which seem to be more lengthy conversations. So I would like to thank you for quickly, Ramona, for quickly putting these back together, getting them out to members. I've heard from members that they have appreciated this. And I'm wondering if Representative Barnhart, Representative Richardson, if you have comments or concerns?
No, I feel fine about it.
I'm sorry, you're asking about what?
The memo from Ramona that you saw earlier this week that we sent out to members to reflect the clarifications we made last week in regards to incidental entertainment and snacks and the value of snacks.
Oh, yes. No, I've read it. I think it's fine.
Ramona.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Ramona Kennedy. I'm Chief Clerk for the House. And I would just caution the committee on one piece of this, in that unfortunately in the House rules, punctuation would suggest that no meals could be accepted. It falls outside of the part of the rules where it says gifts under $10, and then it goes comma entertainment, it goes on to trips, etc., out of state, and meals. So we may want to, as we conclude this committee, hopefully someday, want to come forward with a friendly amendment to the House rules when appropriate to make sure that we clarify that. However, as you know, the rules are such that I believe with the guidelines, and since they are referenced in the rules, as this committee will make further clarifications, that I am at this point in time interpreting that rule to now be as you have defined meals to be in the guidelines. But I do think that there's probably a little cleanup that probably would be necessary in the House rules to make it very clear.
Great. Thank you, Ramona. So with that, let's move on to our next area of clarification, which would be this issue of books and materials. I've put in front of you a paper that, again, has a roadmap of options A, B, and C. I would very much invite you to add other options. This was certainly a very quick run at thinking of what the options may be. Ramona, before we start this discussion, do you want to give us a very brief rehashing of how this issue has come to you?
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. Currently, I have on my desk a couple publications that I'm not sure yet what to do with. One they would like to pass out next week. It's called The Career of Robert Newell, an Oregon Pioneer. The value of this retail is $17.95. However, they had it reprinted specifically for the members at a value of $6.95. I appreciate that, but the retail value still would be $17.95. I also have a publication that has come before me from the tribes that basically talks a little bit about their culture and about their place within our borders as a country or a nation among themselves. And I've had other books that have come before us that, you know, I think that it's extremely gray as to whether one member might find it very educational and helpful as they pursue this career of a state legislator part-time, and whether or not it might be entertainment to someone else. And so as I look at all your options, I appreciate them, Madam Chair, but I do believe that there's going to be ongoing publications, books, pamphlets offered that may cause some you know, determination either by myself or ultimately by this committee. One thing I'd like to suggest is that our house rules under 16.01 allows you to use your service and supplies dollars in order to buy or subscribe to magazines, periodicals, or other publications in helping you do your job as a state representative. And so if somebody asked me if I would pay for this, chances are I would find it relative to this and probably suggest that that could be purchased through the service and supplies account. So you may find a little bit of a cross-referencing here. So as you look at your options, I would suggest the committee might want to take those under consideration.
Can I clarify? When you said you would look at that book, that Robert Newell book, that is a book that you would or would not likely permit someone to purchase with their services and supplies budget?
I try to be very... I try to provide as much latitude as possible in allowing the members to buy, through their service supplies, publications, books that they feel strongly would help them in their service to their constituents as a state representative. And since this is a history of sort of Oregon and our forefathers, although I haven't read it, you know, if a member felt that that was something that would really help them sort of get sort of an understanding of about where we all come from and that basis, I probably would, you know, say, I understand that you believe this is something you would need, and I would probably authorize that. Okay, where I draw the line is where it's clearly, as I would see it, having nothing to do with the state of Oregon, having nothing to do with policies within this state, although I have, you know, allowed for subscriptions to the New York Times or to the Wall Street Journal. So, I mean, I think that the information our members need in order to do their jobs is clearly not necessarily just confined to Oregon, but a lot of things that other states are doing that might be referenced in those publications clearly could be of interest to members. And so I try to look at these very carefully, but also grant latitude in order to making sure that the members use the state dollars appropriately, but without restriction if they truly believe that they need that in order to do their jobs.
Thank you. Are there other questions for Ramona? Representative Barnhart?
No, it isn't a question. I wanted to make a comment, but I'll wait until it's time for comments.
Any questions for Ramona?
Madam Chair, Ramona, do you think that going with a policy that would say anything that would have been acceptable under service and supplies would be acceptable here is in harmony with the intent of the gift guidelines, which is to limit gifts that are of value, essentially over $10. I mean, I'm kind of struggling with this because we keep finding ways, I mean, we're considering ways to make it work, but I could picture a beautiful book of Oregon that costs $150, and they have them, you know, gorgeous books, but it deals with Oregon, and it deals with the kind of the history, and it maybe show the early trains and early pioneers and all those things, and it'd be a very nice gift, and it would justify, you know, you could say it relates to what we're doing, we're learning, and I can show it to people that come to my office, constituents, or whatever, but I could also see that that violates the spirit of what we're trying to accomplish, which is to limit gifts.
Madam Chair, Representative Richardson, that is where it gets gray. And I have, in the interpretation of the rules as the parliamentarian, have advised members and leadership that if it has the appearances of a gift, and typically the members, I've not been confronted with having to purchase, as you would, I would call it a coffee table, you know, picture book for members. That has not been a request. When they've requested that, it is so that they can give it to somebody else. And we do not, under House rules, allow them to buy gifts for anyone else with state dollars. It is only for their use, for their, education and for their ability to continue to do their jobs. And so most members have not brought me that kind of request. As you know, you have limited dollars within your service supplies accounts.
Right.
And so that's not something that members at this point in time have seen as something that they need. They would prefer to use those dollars on something else.
Thank you. Madam Chair, as a way of comment, I would think that although we might not historically have done that, I could see that those that would want to give gifts to the legislature could make that kind of a gift, because it would have been allowed had we made the request. And so I would hope that we would retain the spirit of what we're trying to accomplish and not allow the system to be gamed merely by having gifts that would qualify for service supply if they were requested, even though we never would, because we're very cautious on how we spend the money.
Mm-hmm. Excellent point, Representative Richardson. Representative Barnhart, you had comments.
Thank you. There's going to be a constant rub between the issue of informing ourselves so that we can make wise policy decisions on the one side, and the appropriate interest of constituents, businesses, organizations, tribes, whoever, to help inform us about issues that have to do with our business on the one side, and on the other side, the issue of inappropriately influencing legislative conduct or the appearance of that by making a gift. It seems to me that those are the two considerations. And one of the areas that concerns me about the gift rules is anything that would have the effect of limiting the information available to legislators as we do our work. I consider, for example, the two books here, if they cover the topics as I understand them, to be absolutely appropriate for a legislator to have, to use, to read in order to understand Oregon better, in order to do our jobs better. I can imagine many, many other kinds of publications like this. Understanding Oregon history is got to be fundamental to doing our work, it seems to me. I may not care to spend the time on some esoterica, but someone else might think it completely appropriate to do that, to read some book on a subject that wouldn't interest me but might in fact inform some legislation down the road. That's absolutely within our official responsibilities, and I think that we should not be limiting people who want to give us material, not for the purpose of gifting us, but for the purpose of providing us with materials from which we can learn in order to do our official duties better. I know there are times when that becomes, there's a fine line between those two, as the clerk pointed out, and she's absolutely right about that. But my preference would be, if we're going to err, let's err in the direction of assuming the legislators are going to use material appropriately to inform themselves in order to make policy. Now, to get to the point that Representative Richardson raises, I think that's also an excellent point. And what came immediately to mind as he made the comment about an expensive book was several years ago, the University of Oregon published an Oregon Atlas, which cost $100 when it was new, and it was a coffee table size book with full of pictures and graphs and such. I went out and immediately bought one for myself out of my own pocket, because I considered it to be an extremely valuable book, not because it was a coffee table book, but because it contained very valuable information about Oregon and Oregon history, transportation systems, population, and so forth and so on. Not the kind of book that you would sit down and read sort of for entertainment, but very extremely valuable. So even a coffee table book may occasionally fall under this sort of an exception, not because it's full of pretty pictures and a little bit of text, but because it contains deep analysis of important information. So I think it's going to be very difficult for us to draw a clear, bright, distinct line here, and I'd like to figure out a way to help legislators make a judgment for themselves about an individual item, probably without drawing that distinct line, perhaps by pointing out what the considerations are and then expecting people to make their own judgments, and also expecting the clerk to be able to advise people based on those considerations on an individual item. For example, a coffee table book full of great, beautiful pictures of the Snake River Valley might very well not be appropriate. $200 book might very well not be appropriate because it basically is a gift item. On the other hand, the Atlas of Oregon, I would submit, is absolutely appropriate under the rubric that it's there to present information to a legislature in carrying out his or her official duties. That's longer than I probably should have talked, but I don't know how to get it much shorter than that in order to get the consideration in. And I'll tell you, one of the things I am absolutely convinced of is we should not be doing anything that restricts legislators from receiving material that is important to the legislator in the carrying out of that legislator's duties as a legislator. And that's where this thing gets muddy.
And I think it gets further muddied by, I feel torn by the comments that each of you have made. And I think that certainly we need access to information and material to help us in formulating ideas and solutions and better understanding the problems of our state and the people of our state, things that we might not otherwise have chosen to read. But if I go back to thinking about what the intent of the gift guidelines was, which is, I believe, in part to increase the transparency of how it is that we make our decisions and who it is that has access to us, and to increase the confidence of the public, I get to be a little bit nervous if we start finding ways to make exceptions in the places that are hard. And then how do we draw that line? Because what's important to you to make decisions on the committees on which you serve may be very different than the ones that I need to do my own, which means that back in Ramona's office, you have that very difficult decision of determining this book may be appropriate for this legislator, but not for this legislator on the other side. I think this is a very difficult issue, because ultimately we do want people to have the information they need to do the work that we come here to do. Representative Richardson?
And Chair, I certainly agree with that, and I agree with what Representative Barnhart said, but realize that he said, I saw this book and I went out and bought it.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about depriving legislators from access to material. We're saying, should they be gifted this material? And to get a $100 book, even if it's by U of O and has some good information, it's still a, you know, the whole idea with gifts is connection. And I mean, that the reason that the public is so suspicious of gifts, mm-hmm. is because it seems to be like they wouldn't be giving it to you if you weren't a legislator. They wouldn't be handing it to you if you didn't have something that they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that if someone came with a book and they said, you know, this book costs $15, but it is worth it, won't you please buy this book? Then we can buy the book if we think it's useful. But if they say, you know, we just want you to have this, and it's a gift, and we've limited meals to $10 and snacks and refreshments to $10, but a nice book that's worth $100 is okay because it might have some useful information. And I think that if we think it's useful, we should spend the $100, but not merely have an open up an area where there can be directed, you know. Besides that, even if it's service and supplies, you would approve certain trips to certain areas. And so, you know, what about a gift of a ticket to fly a certain place, because it would have, if you want to spend your money to go to this convention, you could qualify. Well, now it's a lot of money, but it qualifies under that. I feel like if it's something that's important to us, we should spend the money for it. And if it's a gift from someone else to us, then we kind of go with the spirit of it if we would keep that same $10 limit, because then we're not having to have Ramona make decisions on does this, does it not, and every request, and she's having to make these decisions, because it's easy to say, you know, is the retail value of this $10 or less? That's okay. If it's not, then it's not okay. I mean, I just think with the spirit and the process, you know, of administering this, it would be easier if it was a clear consistency.
What if part of the clarity was similar to the way that we do the receptions rule, that if it's an item that's given to all 60 members, as opposed to something that's given to a single member, which in itself I think would discourage the gifting of large coffee table books. But it would more carefully include the things that some of us do need to use to do our work that the general public might not see as an item of value. Capital Club directories, for example, or other people would see this as an item of value, but when I was first appointed to the legislature, I received a letter from the Farm Bureau, and I was gifted a subscription to the Capital Press. I hadn't known that the Capital Press existed before that. During the year that I had that subscription, I enjoyed reading that and had the opportunity to learn many things that I hadn't known before and probably would not have taken the initiative to learn. I think that's made me better able to participate in the conversations that we're having this legislative session, and yet subscriptions to multiple periodicals doesn't appropriately fit within my family budget if you're balancing that against the other things that you do for your family. But I believe that's something that happens to all members, and to me is an example of something that seems more appropriate.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I throw this out only as a thought, as I'm also trying to brainstorm here with you, if appropriate. And it might be that having heard the comments from Representative Richardson, Representative Barnhart, and clearly from you, that this is going to be a difficult decision. I think the first thing that really needs to be tackled is maybe to define, you know, what we believe publications and periodicals and those types of items are, and maybe that would help. But the other side of that coin is that it may be that even though you may not have the personal resources, and I think we need to ensure that those who don't have personal resources to buy the books that they actually need in order to do their job as a state representative not be handicapped because somebody else can't afford to do that personally, but that we still follow the same rules that we have under 16.01 in House rules allowing them to buy periodicals, to buy subscriptions, to buy publications that they believe. They are then making a choice with the limited amount of dollars that they get in their service supplies account to ask for that to be reimbursed. However, you could still have that line then at the $10 if you wanted to for anything else that could be just gifted to you, which might be a compromise here initially. And then, you know, what's going to happen if the member does send me the bill for and asking me to voucher that and approve that expenditure, I'm going to have a conversation with them on a case-by-case scenario as to whether this is appropriate if it doesn't fall within something that seems, you know, immediately and available, i.e., if Representative Barnhart had sent me and requested that he be able to buy this book, given the explanation he just gave, I probably would have allowed him to take that money out of his servant supplies account, and that it has a lot more information that he's looking at as opposed to pretty pictures. If somebody's justification is that it's from my district and it's, you know, it's a picture book and it's beautiful, I would probably suggest that they have other dollars available to them that should be used in order to purchase those books. As possibly an immediate compromise until we have more time to kind of resolve this issue immediately.
And I'd like to raise one other point on this issue, and that is I think the kinds of materials that I am talking about trying to defend are not properly thought of as gifts.
Yes.
They aren't gifts. What they are is an attempt to provide information to legislators. They may come in the form of a book, they may come in the form of a directory, but they are tools to help us do our work. That's very different from a gift. And I would think it would be extremely unfortunate if we were to end up with a rule which basically hamstrung either ourselves or constituents or others who were trying to give us information to help us do our job. That would concern me a great deal. Now, I recognize all the considerations Representative Richardson and Representative Gelser raise, and I think you're right. There's no question about that either. But trying to work our way through the maze in such a way that takes care of that. One suggestion I would have, and then I have to go to the other meeting that I have at 10:30, One suggestion I have is that we might distinguish between gifts that are made to a legislator personally and materials that are given to the legislature and to the office of a legislator in order to help the legislator complete his official responsibilities. And that means that, of course, when if a book or other material were given to a legislator's office in order to assist in the legislator's fulfilling of his duties or her duties, then when that legislator left office, the material would remain behind, just like we leave behind state publications like the Oregon Revised Statutes, session laws, and a whole variety of other things that we don't carry away with us when we leave office. Another alternative that occurs to me also, and I don't expect to talk about this today because I don't have time, and that is that I've received a number of materials from educational institutions on loan. They expect them back when I leave office or earlier than that if I don't want to keep them anymore. And so they're not gifts, they're simply on loan to use in my office. These came my way before the gift rules existed, so I don't know that that it applies. But they understand that I have them only during the time that I'm in office. They are not gifts to me. They're simply on loan to the office, and they expect them back. So there seems to me there are a number of other ways of dealing with items which really are related to the fulfilling of our duties. My final comments are some legislators can afford to buy a $100 book and other legislators cannot. I do not want to limit the capacity of legislators who cannot afford to buy the book from being able to do it. If their office and supplies account is exhausted, which we all know happens all too frequently in our system because the office and supplies account isn't really large enough for us to do more than the minimum necessary to fulfill the duties of our jobs now. None of our staff are overpaid, for example. So that isn't a real solution either when it comes right down to it. I don't know the answer, but I just throw out ideas, and I think we're going to continue talking about these issues. But just to recap, I think it's unfortunate if we think of items that are given to us for the purpose of helping us fulfill our jobs as legislators as gifts. I think that's an unfortunate characterization, if that's what we conclude. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Well, thank you for a very thought-provoking discussion today. We will continue next week with more conversations in this vein. And with
One question, please, Madam Chair, before you leave. I do have these two publications before me, still sitting on my desk. This one particularly they wanted to distribute next week. Without decision, my suggestion to them will be, since it does have a retail value of $17.95, even though it cost $6.95 to reproduce, that it would be a book that could be received but would have to be then gifted to another library within the 30-day rule. And is that correct, Madam Chair?
I would say that that's correct, but I would also, if there are significant ones of these, having been in this situation already, I think that we need to be conscious of the amount of time that legislators have in their districts to be able to carry out the transfer and the donation of such books. So I think that we could be creating a hardship for legislators to give a green light for what are basically gifts that the legislator then needs to find a way within a certain time period to find someone that's willing to accept the donation or be in the position of not accepting it.
Yes, Madam Chair, I personally would rather not receive those items because of that complication. That would be my preference.
There's a number of legislators that are put out signs just saying
Well, with that direction, Madam Chair, I will inform at least this group here of that decision, and then we maybe could take up that 30-day limitation and some of those other concerns that have been expressed by the members when we also continue our conversation on publications.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The meeting is adjourned.
I guess I can see